You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
A group of Republicans led by the great conservative Barry Goldwater and by the minority leader of the House and by the Republican leadership marched to the White House and said to Richard Nixon, "You are unfit to remain in office. You must leave the presidency. We will no longer support you."
The words of Carl Bernstein, of course, co-author of the Watergate story. This is August 5th, 2020. Bernstein appearing on CNN with Chris Cuomo, suggesting GOP leaders know that Trump is unstable, that they should go in there right now and tell him you need to leave office because we will not support you. So now they're pushing that storyline as well, in addition to everything else coming from the left. And Bernstein also is proposing that Trump has already been talking about in the White House a way to stay in the Oval Office, even if he loses the election, that he will turn it into the hands of Congress. He's talking about putting it with the House of Representatives through the 12th Amendment. Well, the House of Representatives is now controlled by Democrats. But let's don't let the facts get in the way of a story, a scare scenario, that Trump will find any way to stay in office, even if he's defeated. By the way, word coming out that the president now saying he is considering delivering his Republican National Convention speech from the White House. He had planned to originally deliver it, of course, in Charlotte, North Carolina. Decided to cancel that. And now says I might do it from the White House. Now, a federal law known as the Hatch Act does forbid generally the use of government property and employees for political activities, with some exceptions. The president and vice president would be considered exempt. But you watch for the left to try to make some noise over it. And I'm sure the left was already rushing forward with that when saying that he will not go up and stand there and talk to his audience. Well, neither will Joe Biden. Joe Biden now announcing he will not travel to the Democrat convention side of Milwaukee to accept his party's presidential nomination, citing coronavirus concerns. You know what I see in those lines as I just read them? Biden is thus again looking for a way to stay out of the debates. We'll see if that plays out. Various elections across the nation yesterday, primaries, a major upset in Missouri. A major upset. Congressman Clay ousted by challenger Cori Bush, a member of the Progressive Squad. Congressman Clay, of course, taking over the seat held by his father, for decades. And now Clay is out, and a new progressive is moving in. By that point, also, Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib won her primary election in Detroit, and she says, look at what I did, look at what Cori Bush did. This proves we are here to stay, and we're going to get bigger and better, and I would say, and nastier with what they want to do to this nation. Defunding police still rushing forward. Seattle proposal still not adequate. They want more. Senator Cruz holding a hearing yesterday on the riots, and the Democrats will not say a word against Antifa. Now, Senator Hirono of Hawaii talked about the freedom of speech as if that's the same as rioting, and then insisted she'd had enough of any lecture from Ted Cruz, so she decided to walk out. You're going to get to hear that a little bit later in the next 2 hours. And also in the next 2 hours, we obviously need to give you an update on COVID-19 and what's happening with it. And probably one of the bigger stories just beginning to break, a senior official expert slash with the World Health Organization declaring that the coronavirus did not necessarily jump from animals into humans at Wuhan, China, suggesting it didn't even originate in China. This is the World Health Organization, the same group that told us, don't worry about it. You don't need to worry. It's not that contagious from human to human. Remember that? So obviously, we're going to need to take a closer look at this latest proposal as they do bidding and at the direction of China, trying to say China is not the source of everything that's hit this nation and the world. That's their story. They're trying to stick to it. We've got a lot to cover in the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So are you ready to get out from the COVID-19 scare? We might still need to be careful in some areas. I do encourage businesses to make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And, of course, if you open up and then a client or an employee or someone else surfaces with COVID-19, you need to reevaluate what's going on. I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. They can determine at a very reasonable cost what you need to do before you open. Once you are open, and as you move forward, it just makes good sense, doesn't it? Wellington Environmental, for 30 years, has been treating situations at hospitals, schools, daycare centers, private homes. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Well, I started out with $1 million, gambled with a man and I won me another, bought me a gun and I robbed my brother. I'm bad, but I don't care, boys. I wanna be a millionaire.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Waves, Delta.
More and more we're seeing signs that a significant portion of this violence, of this rioting, is not random. It's not spontaneous. Rather, it is coordinated and inspired by leftist anarchist groups, groups like Antifa.
The words of Senator Ted Cruz yesterday, chairing his committee, looking into the rioting that's taken place across our nation. And he points out what we've all recognized. We know it's going down exactly as he described it. The Democrats know it's going down exactly as he described it. Antifa, a Marxist organization, aligning with Black Lives Matter, which also is a basis of Marxists, and they're hijacking what would have been maybe peaceful and legitimate efforts to bring attention to reform for police. But what happens? They end up rushing forward with anything they can throw at police, attacking them, trying to burn down any building that's in their way, looting, destroying. And yet the media and the left continue to insist that Antifa really doesn't even exist as a group. No, they do. They just don't even want to acknowledge it. Donald Trump had tweeted on May 31st, the United States of America will be classifying, or I should say designating, Antifa as a terrorist organization. A domestic terrorist organization. And immediately you saw the left media and Dems rush forward. Most of the media that has been covering the rioting is sympathetic to the aims and tactics of Antifa. Make no doubt about it, they are. Because they want to see anything that will destroy Trump, and this is another way to do it. And again, if they try to say that it really doesn't exist, well, then they can't really be targeted. And in fact, some were making fun of Trump and mocking him, saying, you're going to crack down on a group that really doesn't even exist. And yet Antifa acknowledges it exists. They call themselves Antifa, anti-fascist. And yet the very things that they do are fascist-oriented. If they knew history, which I don't know if they do or don't, or if they just assume you don't. The whole idea of fascism is to quiet the other side. They don't get to say anything. You shut them down. You burn their books. You burn their flag. You do anything you can to make them insignificant, if not completely worthless. And Antifa has been doing that on college campuses for some time now. You try to book a conservative speaker at some of the colleges, and you will immediately be greeted with protests that soon become violent. That's the next step for them. And yet Senator Cruz pointed out that in the midst of all of this that we're seeing across the nation now and have been watching for years developing, we've watched it happen in front of us primarily since the election of Donald Trump. And with that in mind, a lot of the Dems just will not speak out against Antifa or any group that is doing street violence. Oh, they will give it some lip service. But for the most part, they are constantly yielding.
We're seeing too many local officials, mayors and governors, who've made a cynical decision that it's in their partisan interest to turn a blind eye to this violence. I would also note that the ranking member said nobody is condoning the violence and rioting, and yet nowhere in the opening remarks was even one word condemning it.
He is referring, of course, to one of the Dems sitting on the panel, and we'll talk about her a little bit later. But what his final line was, not one of them is condemning it. It's not enough to say, yeah, we're all against violence, we're all against rioting, but you got to get right in the face of these guys and say, I call you out for what you're doing, and you're wrong. But they're not doing it. Because right now it serves their purpose. And we pointed out previously, and we'll talk about it a little bit later in this hour, that when the federal agents were going to move away from Portland and defending the courthouse, and let the Oregon State Police take over, I said, and I know you agreed as well, that's not going to stop the violence. They would have you believe that all the violence that was taking place was simply because the federal agents were there. Well, they just had another night of violence in Portland last night. Same, same. Now they're going after the police headquarters. As we well knew, you take the federal troops out, the federal agents, and let the Oregon State Police protect the courthouse, and the protesters will turn on the other police agencies. Because they're not going to be satisfied until they get what they want. And they cannot have what they want because it would mean destruction of this nation. That is a sole purpose. The sole purpose is to destroy this nation. I'm looking at a piece that originally came from NPR headlines. DOJ cases brought over protests showed no links to Antifa so far. And in looking at that report and what it was or what it isn't, a writer for Red State, which is a conservative organ group, I want to point that out to you, was noting in this piece that primarily they were looking at criminal complaints against 51 people charged by the Justice Department in connection with the unrest. And yet there was no mention, any reference at all to Antifa. And supposedly none of the 51 in these court papers were linked to Antifa. So again, they're saying there's just no linkage. But if you look at where these protesters were, spread out over 18 states, wherever an event surfaced, they were suddenly showing up. That's because they are, clearly, as Senator Cruz said earlier, they're organized. This is not a grassroots event where they're sitting around the coffee shop and said, you know what? Instead of getting another latte, let's go out and start a fire and start fighting police. They don't just decide to. They show up with objects to throw at police, to attack police. They come with their own armament to protect themselves from police. And as I pointed out to you yesterday, some of them are now suing, saying we're not allowed to exercise our First Amendment rights because we cannot afford the protective gear to protect us from police. Senator Cruz stated again in his hearing yesterday, and he did in interviews afterwards, that there should be no doubt at all the difference between the First Amendment versus riots. Please listen again.
What's happening, unfortunately, is not free speech, and those who are peaceably protesting are seeing their protests hijacked by violent anarchists, by Marxists who are engaged in acts of terror. At the end of the day, none of this is complicated. Don't assault your fellow citizens. Don't firebomb a police car. Don't loot and destroy small businesses. Don't murder police officers.
You think you had to be told? You had to be told that that's the difference between the First Amendment and what we've seen on the streets? And the left knows this. The Democrats know this. The far, far left knows this. The idea is to just make excuse after excuse and continue to push, firebomb, attack, destroy, vilify police, and all law enforcement. Somewhere in the midst of all of this, of course, was the George Floyd case. But it's been pretty much lost. The video that was released yesterday, video cam footage from some of the officers involved, gave you a different perspective of George Floyd. Now, I want to make sure you understand something. What I'm going to say does not excuse how he was held down, a knee in the back of his neck for 8+ minutes. Does not excuse that one bit whatsoever. But Floyd was a little bit more combative than we'd been told and not really cooperating, had to be told repeatedly what to do and would still do what they told him not to do. That's what the video shows, but it's been held back all this time. And it's probably going to be enough in many cases to clarify the other officers. Now, whether or not it's going to get down to the officer who actually had his knee in the back of the neck of George Floyd and be enough to find him not guilty or reduce the charges, we'll have to wait to see. But again, whatever Floyd did not justify what was going on at that point when he's down on the ground and restrained and under control. And if you recall, that's where really all this most recent rioting and violence started, right? That was the intent, to go out and bring that to the focal point, the attention. It's been lost, totally lost. And those organizing these protests that turn into riots, they really don't care about George Floyd. They care more about what kind of noise and action they can generate. And again, Senator Cruz referenced to the Democrats in his meeting.
In about 4 hours of a hearing today in the Senate Constitution Subcommittee that I chair, 7 Democrats spoke and questioned the witnesses. Not a single one dared to criticize Antifa in any way because they're making a cynical decision that they want to encourage these radical leftists who are assaulting and threatening American citizens. It's really unfortunate.
Is that not language that should make you realize that, listen, they don't have the interest of this country at heart. He said seven Democrats spoke, and they questioned our witnesses during this 4 hours, and not a single one dared to criticize Antifa in any way because they're making a cynical decision that they want to encourage these radical leftists who are assaulting and threatening American citizens. Cruz also later said in an interview, he said, the Democrat Party at this point has really unleashed the crazies. He went on to say most of the party is already being held captive to extreme angry voices, whether it's Antifa, AOC, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Black Lives Matter. He said all of them at this time are making their noise, and the Democrats are too afraid to speak out against them. And then we had the incident that happened in that hearing involving Hawaii Senator Hirono, Democrat. And when we come back from the break, you're going to hear her because she said, I've sat here during this hearing, and I'm kind of done with it, Senator Cruz. And she basically tells him to kiss off, kind of, in her own way. I want you to hear it. Because for all we're trying to do in this country and look at the issues, it again became political theater for the senator. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Someday, when I'm awfully low, when the world is cold, I will feel a glow just thinking of you and the way you look tonight.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Yes, you're. We have this pesky thing called freedom of speech. And I'd say that the people who support Black Lives Matter, and if they're calling for various boycotts and all that, that's called freedom of speech. And that's what this hearing title is, protecting speech. So all I can say is, look, we should all join hands and denouncing and whatever words you want to use about violent extremism of all stripes. And I think we can all agree on that. So it's to constantly accuse Democrats of not caring about that is really, I can only say that you aren't listening.
Those are the words of Senator Hirono of Hawaii to Senator Cruz. You're not listening. We clearly are against extremism, she said, of all stripes, whatever words you want to use. We all agree. But you won't call them out by name. Now, some will say, is it really necessary? If she just said, we should all join hands in denouncing whatever words you want to use about violent extremism of all stripes, I think we can all agree on that. But the point is, you can't all agree on it, certainly not on the left. You're saying the words, but you don't really mean them. And again, at that point, she decided, I'm going to walk out. I am done with listening to this hearing. Well, let's pick up that part of the piece, and then, of course, Senator Cruz has his response.
I hope this is the end of this hearing, Mr. Chairman, and that we don't have to listen to any more of your rhetorical speeches. Thank you very much. I'm leaving.
Well, I appreciate the, as always, kind and uplifting words of Senator Hirono. And I would also note that throughout her remarks, she still did not say a negative word about Antifa, nor has any Democrat here. They instead engage in a political game where they depend. You're welcome to say something negative about Antifa right now.
I think that I've covered the subject quite well. You're not listening.
Okay. She declined to speak, so that is the position of the Democratic Party. I would note also that of the seven Democratic senators who spoke, not a one of them apologized for or denounced multiple Democrats calling law enforcement officers Nazis, stormtroopers and Gestapo, to be fair. I don't have not heard the word Nazi, but stormtrooper was Nancy Pelosi and Gestapo was another Democratic leader. That is less than helpful.
Words again of Senator Cruz, and it is less than helpful. And that's exactly what we've heard from the left. They're not condemning and attacking Antifa and those in the streets. They're condemning police and law enforcement officers who are doing their duty to protect citizens and property when the so-called First Amendment becomes a reason and a cause and an excuse to riot. George Washington University law professor Jonathan Turley also spoke before the committee yesterday, and he said, it's clear the left is suppressing any political dissent. He said, if you go to campuses today, you will find more advocates for limiting speech than protecting it. And you know why? Because if you go on a college campus, you're already walking into a liberal territory. And if you try to make any speech that would be conservative, they will shut you down. Wait to hear some of the latest efforts to defund police. This will make you sleep well. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. USA. Larry Connors, USA.
There will soon be a study coming out shortly, we're told, that will show something like 260 police departments across the nation will have at least half of their budgets cut amid these calls for police to be defunded. Despite all the increase in violent crime, be they rioting in the street or general police, I should say, gun violence. And in Portland, it's been noted that the police overtime pay just in Portland exceeding $5.3 million since those protests started. And then, of course, we had the Portland courthouse that was under siege repeatedly. And we were told that once state police came in and took it over, that everything would be okay and it would come to a halt. Well, they had it again last night. Protesters turned rioters, which is a common passage at this point, vandalized, breaking into the Portland Police Association office last night, setting fires at the building and nearby. Hundreds had marched to the office building. Arriving about 9:45 last night, police said they blocked all lanes of traffic at the intersection and then started a large fire. As they started vandalizing the Portland Police Association office, spraying it with graffiti, trying to pull the plywood off the doors and the windows, and at one point there was some additional violence in the sense that police said a truck dragged a motorcycle through the crowd, although no one was struck. Now, they're not sure exactly what happened to the motorcycle rider. But police say at 11:35, the group had already set up several barricades and fences and continued to tamper with the doors trying to break in to the Portland Police Association office and again setting additional fires. And then around 12:30 this morning, gunfire just a block from the police association office. No one hit, and no one willing to talk about it. Around 3:30 this morning, they all got tired and went home. Milk and cookies, I guess. I thought we were going to see peace in Portland once Trump got his Gestapo stormtroopers out of the city. Surely you didn't believe that. And I know those on the left didn't believe it. They were looking at just another way to show their power and look for a new opportunity. This defunding of police is going to have a ripple effect that is going to be disastrous for the nation, maybe your community, maybe your family. Now, you know, last weekend in Seattle, because they're not acting fast enough and cutting enough money in the Seattle Police Department. Remember where they started the Chop Chaz Zone? And they want the city completely defunding police, pretty much. And because it wasn't enough, some of the Chaz Chop Zone group had marched up on the Seattle mayor's home, and she suddenly declared, okay, the Chaz Chop Zone is out, we're done with it, shut it down. Because it came to her doorstep, not yours. You go to your doorstep, you'd have to continue to live with it. And then, of course, this last weekend, we had them showing up at the home of the police chief in Seattle, who was not home at the time, but something like 200 showed up in her neighborhood, blocking the streets with cars, to the extent that her neighbors came out with rifles to protect the police chief's home and told the folks, you need to leave, and you need to leave now. And they did. And that's why, by the way, you're going to see additional increases of gun sales across the nation, because either police cannot get to you, or they'll be short in personnel that they can't get to you, and you're going to be on your own for who knows how long. And there was a report filed by a Fox News reporter in Seattle talking about how this has been pushing to get more and more money pulled out of the police departments. Fox reporter Dan Springer in Portland was saying the efforts that have already been proposed, they're still not satisfying the activists.
Activists are not satisfied with a proposal that came out Friday that would cut SPD immediately by about 100 officers, 70 of them through layoffs. It asked the chief to eliminate the mounted patrol, school officers, public affairs, and the unit that helps social workers clear out homeless encampments. It cuts $3 million from the 2020 police budget, but two socialists on the council want $86 million cut now.
To say now that we need more time is an insult to the community that is demanding defunding the police now after decades of systemic police violence directed especially at black and brown communities.
That's one of the Seattle City Council members who says they want to cut the police department budget not by $3 million, but by $89 million. And just getting rid of 100 officers, that's not going to be enough. He goes back to the words of AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, when all this started, saying, when we say defund the police, we mean defund the police. In other words, you take every single dime from them. To abolish police, that's what that's leading to. Well, again, the city of Seattle is trying to walk this line, trying to say, well, we hear you, we're going to do some of it, but there comes a point where we just can't. But then again, cutting 100 officers either by firing or attrition or basically shuffling them and deciding who goes and who stays, that's also caused already some conflict.
The big debate over police funding will take place in the fall when next year's budget is set, and one council member does not want layoffs done by seniority because that would mean less diversity on the force. So the idea was floated to keep all officers of color and lay off white officers first. The obvious discrimination has been panned by many, but here in Seattle, that proposal will get a hearing.
Now that is frightening as well, isn't it? And if anyone had proposed, let's keep only the white officers and get rid of all the minority officers, that's not good either, obviously. And seniority, yeah, most of the white officers probably been there longer than those of minority. But the left, the radicals, want to see it done their way and their way only. Now, do you think, riddle me this, if they had an all-minority-based police department, do you think that would satisfy Antifa and the like. Do you think that would say, oh, we got everything we want, we're good now, we're good to go? Well, have you not watched some of the events and the rioters and the protests getting in the face of black lawmen and women holding the line, standing there, having to take racial slander and slurs thrown at them in addition to being spit on and bottles of urine or sprayers with urine sprayed upon them? Because they might be black or brown or yellow, but they're dressed in blue or wearing a badge, and that's enough for them to be a target. No, that again is not going to satisfy the far left. Not at all. And then look what's happening in L.A. Yesterday, the L.A. County Board of Supervisors voted to include a charter amendment on their November ballot. It's going to take nearly $900 million away from the L.A. Police Department. The L.A. County Police Department, $900 million. The amendment is called, quote, Reimagining L.A. County. That $900 million is 10% of their entire budget. You're going to take it and put it into things like housing, mental health services, and other programs and alternatives to jail. One of those on the council, a supervisor, said that vote was rushed. It lacked transparency. And she said, I oppose it because it's going to hurt the county in a bad economy, lead to county job cuts, and restrict future boards. But the ones on the left don't care. Don't care. And, of course, the businesses are caught in the center of it. If there's rioting going on in the street, police cannot get there or will not go there to help stop it because it would just incite them more. Yeah, how many businesses you think will stay after they've been burned down or looted a couple times? Or how many insurance companies are willing to insure them? Or at what rate? There's a trucking company, JKC Trucking. The owner says, we're not going to go into cities if they don't have police forces. He said, any city that has defunded police, our first priority is to our drivers and their safety. We will not send our trucks and our cargo into those cities. He said, I'm also interested at the end of the year when my contracts are up, what kind of language I'm going to see on my insurance carriers as to what additional restrictions are going to put on us. If they are going to be insuring us at all. The Portland police chief had an op-ed published in the New York Times. We'll take a break. When we come back, I want to share some of the thoughts that he made in that op-ed. We'll take a break, and then we'll be right back.
I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The Portland police officer, Chuck Lavelle, took his position in June, shortly after all the uprisings began across the nation. He put an op-ed in the New York Times, which was published. Let me read part of it for you. As police officers, our duty is to uphold the rights of anyone to assemble peacefully and engage in free speech. I think we all agree with that, do we not? And then he adds this. But over the months of protest, a concerning dynamic developed. People protested peacefully, while others engaged in dangerous activities that could have resulted in injury and even death. He said the Portland protests had become spectacles. And he argued that the violence and destruction directed at the federal courthouse is totally out of control. And he adds in his op-ed, this violence, talking about the violence at the courthouse, attacking agents protecting it and trying to get in and burn it down and destroy it. He said this violence is doing nothing to further the Black Lives Movement. On one night, for example, individuals screwed the doors of our North Precinct station shut, barricaded other entrances, lit the station on fire with people inside. Nearby businesses owned by people of color were damaged and looted. And he did justify the use of CS gas against the rioters in Portland. He said, it's uncomfortable, but it's effective at dispersing crowds. We'd rather not use it. We'd rather have those in the area follow the law, not engage. But with those tools are restricted that help us disperse crowds, options are limited to batons or physical force. Through that op-ed, he uses the word violence 6 times to describe the actions of the protesters. And, of course, some on the other side are saying, yeah, but I didn't see him say anything about how his officers were violent. To that point, he made this statement. There are those who say the Portland police have not done enough to quell violence. I asked them to come speak with our officers who've been responding for 2 months to protest. They've served with professionalism, courage, resiliency through an extraordinary time. Many have been injured. Some have received threats of violence to themselves or their families. Do you hear anybody on the left even saying they thank the police for doing a job to help protect property and lives? You don't hear them condemning Antifa. You don't hear them condemning and calling out by name those carrying out rioting, and you don't hear them appreciating the price paid by lawmen and women who are on the front line. Because they don't really appreciate them. And even those who do don't dare speak out and say something that will make them the target of the mob. This mob can turn so fast. It eats its own young sometimes. If you're not in step with them, you not only become the enemy, you become dead to them in many ways. And I pointed out earlier in the opening monologue, there was a big upset in Missouri congressional race yesterday, as Cori Bush upset Congressman Bill Clay. She is one of the progressive squad members. And she got support from the far left. And they decided that even Congressman Clay was not far enough left for them. We'll get into that in more detail. Oh, and by the way, underway at this moment, we've had that former AG Attorney General Sally Yates testifying as senators are questioning what kind of investigation was going on behind the scenes, how much was the White House involved in the so-called Russian collusion story and Michael Flynn. And at one point, Yates felt she had to clarify some remarks she'd made about former FBI Director Comey. She said, I said that Director Comey's decision to go interview General Flynn without coordinating that with us could be characterized as rogue. I was not characterizing Director Comey generally as rogue. But she did. But I guess someone got to her and said, you kind of need to go back and kind of clean that up. So she looked for an opportunity to do so. Coming up at the next hour, how the left believes and is telling the story that Donald Trump is going to stay in office even if he loses the election, and how he will do it. And we'll also talk about how the progressives are even turning those in the left who thought they were solid upside down and throwing them out, and what it means to the nation. We'll get into all of that for you the next hour. And, of course, we will begin with news and commentary. As you know, news and commentary is not your standard news. No, there'll be a commentary and opinion thrown in with various stories. That's why we call it news and commentary.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.